I want to speak to you, please, this morning, verses 37 and 38 of this chapter of the Word of God. These words of Christ in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Feast of the Tabernacles was the last celebration of the Jewish calendar when thanks were given to God at the harvest time, and also the remembrance of the sojournings in the wilderness. It was at this feast in Jerusalem that Christ went up in secret, and there he disputed with the Jews. But he could not be hid. And their intention was to kill him, though they were unable, because the Scripture tells us that his hour was not yet come. How profound is that statement? That though men tried throughout their life to destroy Christ, though Satan himself in the temptation in the wilderness tried to destroy him before his time, they could not take him because his hour was not yet come. The eternal God, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, had set a day. He had set an hour in which Christ would be betrayed, would be taken, and with cruel hands would be crucified. And Peter makes that very clear to us in the Acts of the Apostle in chapter 2. Now, it was widely accepted that the Jewish custom at this feast was that water would be taken from the pool of Siloam, and it would be drawn in a solemn procession and then poured out at the base of the altar, at which time the temple music would begin and the great halal would be sung. And you'll find that from Psalm 113 to the 118th Psalm. Now, I think we can capture something of the sense of this situation as the feast was drawing to a conclusion. The water, by symbolism, had been poured out, and there is a natural climax that is coming at this time. And here we find the people singing, and they were shouting and worshiping. And at this point, the Savior seized upon that particular opportunity, and it tells us in our text, in the last day, that great day of the feast, he raised his voice, which resounded through the temple, and he said these words, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I want this morning for us to focus upon these words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in this last day of the feast, because these words have an impact upon each one of us here in this service. And first of all, I want you to think with me, this was a far-reaching question that the Lord asked. He stood and he cried, "If any man thirst." If any man. It was a very broad word that the Lord spoke. It tells us in the Scripture that he stood, which indicated he was obviously seated, and perhaps all those around him were either seated or some were standing at a distance. But the Lord Jesus rose from his chair, he stood, and he cried with a loud voice, "If any man." Surely the heart of Christ was moved as he viewed the masses as sheep having no shepherd. He saw the people. He looked right into their hearts. He knew that they were undone. They were without God, without Christ, and without hope. And he would one day weep openly over Jerusalem. And so he cries now in a large call of letting out the gospel message, "If any man." John 3 and verse 16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says and declared, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Whosoever and every one that believeth. And again in Romans 10 and verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John in the book of Revelation records that whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Friend, I want you to think about this diverse mass of people that were gathered at Jerusalem at this time. They were Jews and proselytes of many different regions. They would be Greeks who had converted to Judaism. There would have been Ethiopians there. Those of every racial and social and economic background, they were gathered at Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus stood and he declared this word, if any man. What a declaration of the gospel being extended to the very Gentile peoples. The fulfillment of the Old Testament that the gospel would be preached unto the Gentiles to the entire world, if any man. Friend, has that changed today? Has anything changed today regarding the gospel message? Has the gospel been narrowed so that any are excluded because of external issues? No. The word whosoever, it still applies today in this very service to every person who is here. Friend, if you're here today and you have never called upon the Lord for salvation, heed these words of the Son of God, for he is speaking and applying them to you this morning. If any man, if any woman, if any member of humanity is here and is hearing this word, take heed to the message that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Do not think that because you are not brought up in a religious environment, or you do not know anything about church or the Bible, do not think that this does not apply to you. Friend, don't think just because you may have been doing or involved in some very serious sins that nobody else knows about, and you might think in your heart, I'm too evil. I'm too bad. I have done too many things and God certainly would not hear my cry and therefore the gospel doesn't really apply to me. The Lord never put any such restrictions upon this invitation. It was a wide invitation. It was open to all who would hear his voice. If any man, and I make this appeal to you today, if you are here, the gospel invitation is open to you. But not only was it a wide invitation, there is something of a qualification that was spoken of here as the Lord said these words. He said, if any man thirst. If. It was as if the Savior was saying, I know your heart. And I know how the vast majority of you reject me. As he stood in Jerusalem at that time, he was saying, you do not thirst after me. Do any of you thirst after salvation and the Lord Jesus? There was a general indifference to Christ in Jerusalem at that time. My, are things any different today? What about you, my friend? You may, by some unusual providence, have found your way into this service this morning. Maybe you had not planned to come and something turned your course. And here you find yourself in this house, in the place where the Lord's word is being spoken. And the Lord has a purpose for you hearing this word today. But aren't there so many excuses that people will bring up? They will think, well, I have come to the house of God, or I'm prepared to listen to this word, but really it only justifies the fact that I am okay with God. I really don't have any great need inside. I have a degree of religion. I'm an okay type of person. I'm not really all that bad, and I've never done all that many sins to be troubled about. The Lord Jesus tells us in His Word, He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There is a mindset in the world today that religion is for the weak-minded. Religion is, or Christianity is, a religion for losers, it has been said before by prominent humanists. And sometimes people think, well, if you need that crutch, that's okay for you. And perhaps, friend, there is that seed inside your heart. You're really thinking, well, I'm okay, I'm justified in myself, and I have no real need. The Lord Jesus said, if any man thirst. For He does not come to force His message of salvation upon you. But the call of the gospel is an open invitation that whosoever will, if it has been placed upon your heart, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you, and you see your need. But if you in your self-righteousness stand with your thumbs under your lapels and think, I'm okay, I'm not that bad, you will never come to the point of calling upon the Lord for salvation until you see your own need. There is a condition that is in this word that Jesus spoke, and the condition was a thirst. If any man thirst. Now each of us know what it is to thirst. It's the most common need that our bodies have. The internal responses when we become somewhat dehydrated, we need to get a drink of some type of fluid. Thirst is a very common and understood feeling. Most of us, however, have never experienced what it is to go a day without liquid, water of some kind. But those who have lived in the Bible times, or those who have been stranded in some respect in a desert area, to go without water or fluid for a short period of time, it puts life really on the very edge. It's life-threatening. It's hard to describe thirst apart from the overwhelming desire of just having liquid in the body. And the thirsty person knows what it is to thirst, but how do you describe what that is? It's just a longing inside. I need water. I need to have some fluid to rehydrate my body. It is a great mercy, you know, that God gives to us that very feeling or sense of being thirsty, whereby our bodies can be replenished. Do you think the Lord was here talking about physical thirst? There is no way in the context what Christ was speaking about here, if you can keep in mind about that water that would just have been poured out during that significant time, the Lord would take that illustration and He would stand to cry, is there any thirsty ones here? Are there any longing here for a deeper understanding of having that spiritual thirst quenched? He was talking about a deeper need than just a physical response. He was talking about the need of your soul. He was talking about a spiritual thirsting, an awareness that there's something that you need in your life. There is something lacking on the inside, and we must come to find that lack and that need fulfilled. Blessed are those who know something about spiritual thirst. For the beginning of all true Christianity is to discover that we are needy, that we have a need that cannot be supplied of ourselves. That we are thirsty for a spiritual refreshment that cannot be gratified or given in any other way in this life. The heart of man is too large. The heart of man is too great to be satisfied with religious perfunctory exercises, with human philosophy. with the religion of humanism, with the religion of hedonism, which is the filling of the pleasures of this present evil world and pouring them into the heart of man. But he finds that after he has taken his fill of all that he can find, there is yet an emptiness that cannot be satisfied. Friend, is that where you are today? Is there an emptiness in your heart that cannot be satisfied with anything else in this world? And maybe you've tried them. Maybe you have tried the religious things. Maybe you've been baptized as a baby. Maybe you were baptized as an adult, but still you're not a believer. You're not truly a child of God. And there's a longing inside for you. There's a thirst. And your condition cannot be satisfied until you call and turn unto the Lord. But again, I say to you, if you are satisfied with yourself, then you have no thirst for the things of God. If you are justified in your own spirit, you have no longing or outward desire for the things of God. And that, my friend, is the greatest calamity that you will face. Because you see yourself as justified before a holy God by your own activities. I don't care what church you were brought up in. Church does not satisfy the longing of the soul. It doesn't matter what religion or denomination you're part of. I dare say there have been people who have been members of this very denomination, this very church, members, names signed on the list, and yet in their hearts, they've not been right with God. Church affiliation cannot do a person any good. There must be an acknowledgement that I in myself cannot satisfy that thirst. I cannot appease that. I cannot rehydrate myself, spiritually speaking. Then let's move on. Secondly, there is a very simple response. The Lord Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's a very simple response he was saying. Anyone who was there to hear what the Lord had to say and the words that followed, no one could misunderstand that. It was a very simple response. Let him come to me and drink. Where would the Lord find this water? It was the water of life he was talking about. The water that would come from him. And he said, let him come. Here, my friend, is the simple invitation to come to Christ. He didn't say to the people in Jerusalem at that time, reform your ways, and then I will receive you. He did not say to them, clean up your life and put away all those hidden and dark and secret things and just dust yourself off and then come and I'll receive you. No, it wasn't reform your life and reform your ways. It wasn't study the scriptures a bit more accurately to find out how you can prepare yourself better. No, he didn't say that. He said, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, let him that is athirst come. But it is a hard thing for you, my friend, to come, though it is the simplest action to proceed to Christ and receive him to yourself. And yet it's the hardest thing. Why is it such a hard thing? Because it is a very simple thing. And the old heart of man thinks that I have got to do something to merit my salvation. Certainly by just coming to Christ, by simply receiving that gift, there must be more to it than that. But this is the wonder and the splendor and the marvel of salvation. It is simply coming to trust in Christ, to receive him. But you say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to come, though it might be a simple thing. I'm afraid to come because maybe I don't have enough thirst for the Lord. Maybe I don't have the right kind of thirst. Maybe you need to tell me the type of thirst I'm supposed to have, and then I'll know to come. That's not what the Lord said. Friend, He said simply, let Him come. Friend, don't feel yourself unfit. It is a sure sign, the very working of the Spirit of God in your heart, that you have a desire to be here today, and you're listening to the Word of God, and your heart is open. It is that very truth. C.H. Spurgeon said, the more unfit, the more you are invited. And your very unfitness is your fitness to come. Because the Lord is saying to sinners, come to me. Put your trust and your faith in the finished work of Christ. For there is no other way that we can come but by simple faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. We are to come. It is a simple thing. And then He said to drink. What did He mean to drink? This word is used figuratively here to answer the very question of thirst. The Lord said, come and drink. Here we are invited to freely take all that is needed for our souls from Christ. We are to take from Him mercy. We are to take from Him grace and pardon and peace and strength. For Christ is the fountain of life Himself. He is the very source of eternal life. And so when He stands to say, come to me and drink, He is able with authority to make that claim. What a bold claim that was. Abraham never made that claim. Moses never made such a claim. The great King David never made such a claim. Elijah made no such claim. Nor any other person in their right mind would make such a claim to come to me, and if you drink of me, you will never thirst again. Come, my friend, and drink of Christ this very day, because in so doing your thirst will be quenched. You will taste and see that the Lord is good. Then in thirsting and coming and drinking, you will believe in your heart, because that's what the Lord was teaching here. For if we come to Christ to have our thirst quenched, we are coming to believe in Him. We are coming to trust in Him. We are coming to call upon Him for salvation, because in coming and drinking of Him, we are drinking and tapping into the fountain of life Himself. The Lord says to us, thirdly, there is a marvelous result here. Look in the 38th verse. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, out of the inner part of the man. And here the Lord talks about once a person has been converted, once they have been saved, they have received Christ into their life and heart, and now there is a change that has taken place, and out of the inward part of the man, there is a work that has been done. From the inner part, the soul, the heart, the seat of all that a man is and does and feels, out of the inner part. You see, when the Lord comes into the life is changed. But it's changed not from the outside in. It's changed from the inside out. That man that is converted and changed, the Lord says, old things pass away. That's why when a person truly comes to Christ, you will notice a difference in their life. There will be a marked change. Sometimes the swiftness of that change may not be seen the same in one person as it is in another. But a change there must be when a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That inward work. You are now able to see clearly the purposes of God and His sovereign hand in your life. You now will know that once I was blind, but now I see. A tremendous story of that man whom the Lord healed. They asked him, well, how did he do that? And the man said, I don't know how he did it. But this one thing I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see, and I know who the Lord is, and I know He has saved me from my sin. Yes, friend, it is an inward work. And that inward work and the flowing of life out from you is what the Lord is speaking about here. It is a life-giving work. Because now when a person has trusted in the Lord and we have been given a new heart, there is flowing out from us, from our inner man, rivers of living water. And these waters are to the refreshment of life. They are to irrigate all around us, and they are to give life to others, so that when we come to trust in the Lord, we are to testify of Him, to speak with our life, to speak with our words, to speak with our actions. Out of our inner man will flow this life-giving work to other people around us. If you are a child of God today, is that your testimony? Do others around know that you truly are a changed person? And out of your life is flowing this word and life to refresh others around? The Lord said it would be an abundant work because He said out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. It's not just one river, but it is an abundance of life, of these rivers whereby we may refresh many. You know, we all feel our weakness in spiritual things. I know that I feel my own spiritual weakness to impact those who are around me in a day-to-day basis. And I think that many times, as Christians, we do feel that. We might try to serve the Lord, wonder, well, what impact am I having in my life? You know, the Lord said, when you give a glass of cold water in my name, He will not forget that. From the simplest of things to the larger things. But out of the inner life of the saved person, there will be many rivers flowing out to encourage those around us, flowing in every direction. And remember that as a river flows out, that which is flowing from the river touches places that the source will know nothing about. And as you are serving the Lord in your life, and as you give out the gospel, my, out of your life may flow the life of Christ. But as that river continues to flow out, you don't know where it's going to end up. You don't know who will be touched by that word. And the Lord says to us, we as devoted followers of Him are to know that daily life of the Spirit of God flowing through us. You know, it is God, it's not us. It is the Holy Spirit that flows from the child of God. And it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And thereby many will be blessed by the faithful and obedient life of devoted followers of Christ. Not only is it an abundant work, but it's a continual work. It doesn't just start and then stop, at least it shouldn't. It's a continual work because the Lord said, shall flow. And the grammar there is something that speaks of the continuous nature of the flowing of this river. Can the river run dry? No, my friend. Not if you are a child of God, not if you truly belong to the Lord. The river will not run dry as long as you are on this earth. For the life and the flow of it, it's not of us. If it was of us, it would dry up very quickly. But it's not of us. It's of the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in our life. And the Father and the Son both take up their residence in the life of the believer. So it is God who is flowing through us. Therefore, it's a continual flow of blessing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we think we have so little impact. Let us not be discouraged. Let us rather realize that it is God who is working in us and through us. Is it possible that the flow can be hindered? Yes, it is. And what can hinder the flowing of spiritual blessings to other people in our lives? Friends, maybe It's by your disobedience. Has the Lord been speaking to you about something and you have not been heeding Him? Your disobedience to Him will begin to turn off the tap, and the flow of spiritual blessings out to others will be minimized. Maybe it's because you've been cold in heart for a long period of time, and you say, well, I don't know if the flow will ever start again. Oh, my friend, the coldness of heart can be remedied as we come back to the Word of God and come back to humble ourselves before the Lord and simply cry out to God, oh Lord, I am away from Thee. My heart is cold. Please come and warm my soul. And if you pray those prayers, the Lord will come and He will meet you at the point of your need. But it may be turned off or cut down because there is bitterness in your heart against a brother or sister. They may have done something to you years ago, and the bitterness, you're still hanging on to it, and you can't seem to get the victory. My friend, the best way to get the victory over that is going to be begin to pray for that brother or sister. And as you begin to pray and pour out your heart for them earnestly before God and honestly, you will find the bitterness begins to lift. And the flow of blessing of the Spirit of God will begin to in your life again. Maybe you're resisting the will of God in your life. He is directing you to do something, some work or service for Him, and you say, well, I can't. I don't have any talent. I don't know what to do. And you're resisting and resisting and holding off. The Lord Himself will come to help you if you pray and ask. Some time ago, I was at the cottage and there was a problem with the tap in the kitchen. It was not flowing very well. All the other taps seemed to work in the house, but this one was flowing very, very slowly. Didn't really know what the problem was. Thought maybe there was something caught in the line. But you know, at the end of the faucet, there's a little screen. And I undid that and took the screen out. And inside that little screen, it was completely caked over with sand and little tiny stones. And the water could not get through because of that which was hindering it. And that's how these things happen in our life. They plug up the flow in our life. And we need to stop and take the screen out and clean all the debris and remove those things and come to repent unto the Lord and say, oh God, come and cleanse my life and renew my spirit and my heart and challenge me to go on and renew my zeal and fill me daily with the Spirit of God, whereby I might walk in the center of the will of God. The cares of this life can also grow over. And the many burdens, they can stop the flow of God's blessing. And just being absolutely worn out and wearied in the life that we're living. But again, the truth of God is, and what Brother Mercer was saying last night is so appropriate. For the Lord says, I know thy works. I know what you're laboring to do for me, and though you feel hindered and obstructed, I know. And the Lord knows our hearts, and He knows what we want to do for Him. And therefore, let us not fail to maintain that constant communion with the Lord. We will find our usefulness renewed and refreshed. For some, the flow of living water will come more abundantly when we are pressed in the service of God. The grape does not give up its juice until it is crushed and squeezed. And sometimes our lives must be squeezed in the hand of the Lord in order for the life-giving juice to flow. And maybe it's the trial the Lord is putting you through now, and you say, it's a burden, I cannot bear it anymore. So don't worry, the Lord will give you grace to go through that. And your life will be as a fragrant flower that will put forth that perfume and flow with that bounty to others who are around you. Friend, as we close our meeting today and our service, are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you knowing what it is to belong to Christ? Come to Him today. Do not delay, do not put off. We are your servants for Jesus' sake, and we will help you in whatever way we can to open the Scriptures and just show you how you can know your own heart renewed, brought to Christ, and going on with Him. We're going to close our service this morning by singing a hymn. Number 573. Hymn number 573. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? You telling the lost of the Savior, are you ready His service to do? 573, will stand please as we sing the first and the last verses of this hymn. Let's bow, please, for prayer. And if the Lord has indeed spoken to your heart today, we're happy to take whatever time we can to show you from the Lord's Word how you can know that you are born again of His Spirit. Speak to us before you leave the meeting today, and we'd be happy to pray with you. We can't save you. The Lord can save. We are His servants for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, take Thy Word now today, spoken in the weakness of human words, and we pray it will be written on the heart of each one. Bless us now, we pray, today. Part us in Thy fear with the blessing of God, and bring us back, we ask, in the meeting tonight with our hearts prepared and ready to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.